I know it doesn't always feel that way, but let's be assured that God has hold of us. God is embracing us. We're in the story that, for all its frequent mystery, one day will make sense. Our times are in his hands, as we heard in that psalm that was read for us this morning. Our times are in his hands. What makes me so sure of that, though? A number of years ago, Hillary Clinton published an autobiography with the title Living History. You know, many of the biblical writers would give a thumbs up to that title. It's what we see them do in Genesis, Exodus, Joshua, Samuel, Kings, through to the Gospels, the letters, and Revelation. They're telling the story of God's dealings with us. And of course, the story of how human beings responded to what God did, asked, and promised. And we often label history as being about past events, but we also need to remember we are in history. And the one word can be made too, his story. We're in God's story, and we are part of that story. His story brings the assurance that God is there for us at all times, continuing to love and work for us, even at those times when we might not feel his love or sense his presence. And it's one reason why it's so important to keep going back to the Bible, because the stories recorded there dovetail with the stories of our own lives, circumstances, and experience. They remind and assure us that God is with us now. With us in times of lockdown, with us in times of uncertainty and emptiness, or in times of fullness and joy and celebration, he's with us. Our times are in his hand. And stories are, of course, timeless and very important. Recent events have shown how stories from the history of slavery continue to evoke powerful emotions. And I'm sure you have stories from your own life that do the same. So here's a relevant question. What kind of story are you framing, living, writing now? Come with me to 1 Samuel and see if there are bits of the story there that bring encouragement, perhaps even some ideas and guidance about what is happening in our own lives and history and God's story at this time. To do so, just let me quickly remind us of the big picture of the biblical story up to this point. Firstly, Genesis through to Deuteronomy, Israel has been established, God's promised nation. Then, secondly, we see in the book of Joshua the time when those promises come into being and there's conquest of the land. After 400 years of slavery, 40 years of wandering, they settle. And then there's the period of the judges. And we keep seeing in Judges cycles of disobedience and repentance and obedience and then disobedience again. And after many years, the summary is given in that book. There was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in their own eyes. And that brings us to the era of Samuel. And the context for Samuel can be described as unprecedented times, future uncertainty, a period of transition. Does that sound familiar? And we see in 1 Samuel some of the things that God does in working through the situation. Things that played out in the story of ordinary people like you and me. Now, many of you will know the stories that we're about to refer to, but try and put yourself in the place of not knowing what follows from these events. As Samuel opens in the first couple of chapters, we get a story of desperation and an act of faith in a time of uncertainty. When Anne and I were expecting our first child, I can remember thinking, oh, what kind of world is this child going to inherit? you might identify with that concern. And it was no different in Israel all those years ago. And yet in the opening chapters of Samuel, we meet a lady desperate to have a child, and at a critical time of uncertainty, she promises to give her child, if God will gift her with one, to a religious institution, the service of the tabernacle. The thing is, that religious system was itself corrupted. If we can try and suspend knowing what follows, what would we have made of Hannah's decision to dedicate Samuel? Would we ever have envisaged that that act of faith at such a time of uncertainty was to have the impact of shaping the life of a whole nation? Probably not. But you see, this is how history, God's story, his story works. And 1 Samuel continues and gives us a story of defeat and despondency. The time of lockdown which we have experienced and the battle against coronavirus has presented us all with a bad time. Well, it was a bad time for Israel too. As a nation, they were feeling crushed. The people were despairing. Their arch enemies, the Philistines, were attacking, and Israel suffers a major defeat in battle. They'd gone into battle and they were clobbered, and it was hard. But truth is, life is hard, isn't it? And hard things happen in life. People of faith are not promised a trouble-free ride. Israel needed to trust and seek God, but they didn't. And they made another big mistake. Another battle looms, and they decide they'll win if they take the highly important and the highly symbolic and important piece of religious furniture called the Ark into battle with them, thinking it will secure them victory. But although the Ark was important and represented God's presence with them, they should not have assumed that God would act in accordance with their desires. And they not only lost another battle, but the Ark itself was captured. That was a huge disaster, and their despair was multiplied as a result. Rather marvelously, God gave the Philistines a hard time because of possessing the Ark. But the story is saying, trust God, but don't presume that God will act in a certain way. And that was a lesson Israel needed to learn. And we can see that even in a story of disaster, God's story is continuing to work itself out. In fact, as the story of 1 Samuel continues again, we see that that disaster contributes to the next major event, another event we would not have anticipated. A renewal of faith in the life of the nation. And we get this story of renewal, and we are made to realize that renewal comes at surprising time. Israel gets the Ark back, and it's 20 years later that they are returning to a place of trust in God. And with their trust in God renewed, they also trust Samuel to lead them. Wow! That baby, dedicated to God at unprecedented and uncertain times, is now fully accepted as the leader of the nation. And the story continues on again, and it goes on to a period of transition, an important and significant time for them as they're preparing for a new form of government. We'll have to leave that for another time. But just hopefully in those four stories, we've been reminded and heard enough to know that in the story of God's dealings with people, God is working his purposes out. The story continues, the story that we're part of. And we can truly echo Paul's words in Romans 8:28. We know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. You see, let me conclude by saying this. Whatever your story at the moment, whatever your circumstances or experience, if you're seeking to follow Jesus with the help of the Holy Spirit, you are part of his story. God's story, living history. You're in God's purposes and fulfilling God's purposes and shaping the times that we'll see the kingdom come in the full renewal of heaven and earth. Hallelujah. We're in his embrace. God is working in what is happening now in our history, our events, our circumstances, in our lives and the things we do, in our acts of faith, and even in our failures, in times of emptiness, loneliness, rebellion, and waiting. The story goes on. God continues to embrace us. And just a final reminder, I know it's not original, but we can all read the end of the story, and it's going to be pretty good. Father, thank you so much that we are part of your story. And whether we can recognize it or not at this time, your hand is upon us. You are working your purposes out through us in the life of this nation of ours. We are in your purposes, in your story. Thank you, Lord, so much. In Jesus' name, amen.